Let's start.
Sure.
I got it. Okay, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Roll call. Can we have a roll call, Karen?
Yeah, I'm here. Andy Cota?
Here.
Ron Sill?
Here.
Bruce Sill? John Bittman?
Here.
Sal Fraschino? I know you're present. There, Sal.
Present.
Yep. Heather Buten? I don't see Heather. We'll also know for the record that Demo is here, as is Tom.
Okay. There's still a vacancy in the tax board member, right? That's what I'm gathering by looking at the minutes. So I don't know if the mayor has appointed anybody yet.
Yeah, well, they had to wait until December.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay. We're down to number three, additions or deletions to the agenda. Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I do, Chief.
Go ahead.
So I think this is appropriate. The Pop Warner cheerleading squads went to the Disney National Cheer Competitions. The Pee Wee squad placed first. The Mighty Mites, Junior Pee Wees.
That lanyard, that's red, white, and blue, goes into that closet up there, the room.
The closet?
Hey, sir.
Hold on, Dennis. Hold on. You're speaking over Sal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I'm getting questions asked of me. I'm at the community center, so.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
Yeah, no, that's my fault.
So the Pee Wees placed first, the Mighty Mites second, Junior Pee Wees and Junior Varsity placed third, respectfully. So with that mentioned, I think that our board should at least notice them, mention them, is that what we do? We add them to the agenda so we can acknowledge their success.
Sure. You could do that. Okay. So we want to add the results of the Pop Warner cheerleader squads to the agenda. That'll be after the let's see. That'll be number 8C. 8C. Okay. Do we have a vote on that, or we just want to add it? Go ahead.
I think we can just add it.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. The chairman and the person can add it. Yeah.
All right. Good enough. Close enough. Okay. So,
and I just want to mention, I think, Tag, are you on? I'm speaking with Tag.
Yeah, he's there.
Over the, okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. All good. Dennis, thank you.
Okay, Tag's in. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, he's here. Okay, so we have do we have acceptance of the minutes from November 8th, 2021?
I'll make the motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second.
John made a motion to accept. Second. Who's second?
Ron.
Ron. Okay, Ron second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Okay, we're to the public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak?
Chief Cota, Charlie Sampson, if I could.
Hey, sure, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'll start this off with, I hope everybody has a happy and safe holiday in the upcoming weeks here. I see item 8A on the agenda is about fee schedules. And what I'm asking, obviously, fee schedules are set, and we did a great thing with the paid in park schedules. In order for the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen to keep a hand on what's going on, to try to update the fee schedules, we put together a little spreadsheet for Dennis to submit to us on a monthly basis.
Okay,
I would just ask that, you know, anything moving forward, that we continue to do this so that we get it right. whether we're overpriced, underpriced, or compared to other towns, perfectly priced. It's hard for us on the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen to actually see what's going on with this field in regards, because we have not been getting an updated list on a monthly basis. So I would just ask the Parks and Recs Commission and the director if we could be more frequent and keep this coming in. It's very important in the first year that we look at how these areas are being utilized and the cost for the utilization of these fields. That's all I really have to say. And I appreciate all of your help in putting these together. And I look forward to another, at least 2 years of trying to assist you. One other side note, we will be putting out a full video of the park facilities in this spring that will end up going on our town website, our city website, and also out to those organizations that may want to utilize these fields for upcoming events. So once again, thank you. And I hope you all have a great holiday.
Yeah. Season. Let me just ask one question. This spreadsheet that you made, this includes Bradley School and Whittick Park also? I haven't seen it yet. I know Dennis has it. Is that just the Payden Field?
Right now, the only one that was included was the Payden Field. Oh, okay. But I'm more than happy to make one up for you guys for any other fields. Once again, just to strictly the data and seeing how it's utilized and so we could get a handle on adjusting whatever costs there are associated.
Okay. All right. So, right, Dennis, so I know Dennis has it, so we could take a look at that.
I just want to ask Charlie, I haven't had anything. We've rented the Payden Great Room once, and you didn't get that report. I mean, the report is doesn't have any really new data to be added to it, because the football field stuff all happened basically in May and June. And then we rented the Great Room one time. Now, you should have had that report.
We got it at the meeting. It's handwritten, Dennis, right?
Yeah. That's the one. That's it. That's it. I mean, there's nothing more than what's on that sheet. And I don't know if I could make a recommendation when it comes to Whittick and Amendola or Bradley, would it be okay if we used the same sheet? I mean, instead, rather than a separate one, because we're adopting the fees for those places just now. So, the people that I have done, I'll call business with, at Whittick Park in the past are aware of our new fee schedule and what we're going to be looking for come springtime. If we could put it on the same sheet or I guess we could use a different one. But that's, I don't have anything other than that stuff that's on that sheet right now. Who's that?
Is Charlie still on? Then we can know what he's looking for exactly.
So just Dennis, there was something that came before our board, I want to say back in October, in regards to somebody who wanted to rent it in November, but we didn't have a report in October showing anything that was coming up. So we actually had to table it because we didn't know the dates they wanted it, the times they wanted it. So we had no information and ended up tabling it. And I don't even know, to be honest with you, it never came back before our board to be voted on. So I don't even know if they ended up using it.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is a question now. If the room is to be rented and there's no reason for the Board of Aldermen or the women to get involved prior to the rental, in other words, they're not looking for anything from us other than they're going to pay the price. Do you guys need to see that? You need to see a request, even though there's no special request attached to it.
Understand what I'm saying? I understand. And what we would ask for you to do is actually fill that document out, whether the rental has occurred, is about to occur, and on a monthly basis, just forward that to us, even though there are no special requests coming in front of the board, just so we have the data on who is requesting it, how much their costs are, and we can keep up to track with what is about to go on and has gone on.
Okay. So that's something that I was unaware of. We did rent the room one time. There was no request for any price difference than what the price is called for. So
that's fine. Didn't think it show up on the spreadsheet and before.
Yeah, it's on the spreadsheet as happening because it did. And the application was filled out. Not knowing that, if everything's going just the way we want it to, I was unaware that it needed to be shared prior to the occurrence. But okay, that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
Now, football games, I hope that I could just, listen, these things pop up sometimes. We don't exactly have that 6 week or weeks in advance. Do you want the same kind of situation going on with if I make a football game yes. And I got like a week to get that game taken care of and played?
I would say if the game is scheduled through you, because we're not necessarily looking for anything the athletic director is scheduling, which is typical course of use for the schools, that if it's done prior to a Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen meeting, if you just jot it on the list as an upcoming event, but if the event has occurred, then just put down the dates that the event has occurred on that sheet and forward it to us the following month.
Not to interfere with what you're saying, but it would be great if we had a mechanism where I just plug this stuff in and everybody gets it. It's public knowledge, it's public information. If I had some kind of computer situation where anybody that comes to me and I put it on this report in a computer, that you can get it the day I get it. Is that something we could get together?
That would make it a lot easier for everybody, I think, Dennis.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we could just punch this stuff in to some kind of directory it's not the kind of information that, it's not secret. It's not stuff that anybody's going to worry about letting other people know. So maybe if we could develop some kind of computer program. I'm not really good with that stuff, but we could probably manage to handle that. And so that everybody gets it.
Understood. I'll take that concern back to the mayor's office. It does require a little bit more than just purchasing a computer and doing it. I won't get into the technical aspects of it, but there are some concerns, and I'll bring them up with the mayor's office to see what we can do.
Sounds good. In the meantime, we'll stay with what we said prior to what I just last said. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. I hope that works out. We'll touch base with you, obviously, periodically to make sure that this stuff is getting done the way that the board is looking for. Okay. Do we have, is there anything else for the public portion? Do we have anybody else from the public would like to speak?
Yes, I'd like to speak. Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive.
Go ahead,
Tom. I have a question. Maybe you can answer it, Chief, or maybe Dennis can answer it. My question is, you're going to set fees, I believe it says in the... In the agenda for Whittick Park and for Bradley School. Am I correct?
We already have that.
All right, but who set the fees? That's my question.
The fees were set by, were developed by Dennis, and they were forwarded along with when we voted for the processes that to occur at those two other parks to the Board of Aldermen. And
okay. All right. So in other words, the input that you and Dennis had in the in your board, you set the fees and then you send them up to the Board of Aldermen and they approved it. Am I correct by saying that?
As of right now, that's the way it is, unless something changes with the particular fees.
Okay, then here's my next question. When this board had Payton Park, when it first got finished off, were you involved in setting the fees to send them to the Board of Aldermen? Were you people, was this board, did they come up with fees and then put those fees to the Board of Aldermen for them to approve it?
The fees were worked on between us and the Board of Aldermen. But so, ultimately, the actual fees, I believe the Board of Aldermen has the last say on the fees. The processes by the, how we operate it is one thing, but we have all those processes. And in that, I forget how many pages, 8 or 10 pages that we had, were the fees.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No,
I can add a little something to that answer, Andy. I mean, if you want. Tom, we sat down with our Alderman committee, operations and procedures, and we hashed out a lot of the concerns and information that ultimately resulted in those fees being developed. Primarily, they were developed by the Operations and Procedure Committee, okay?
The
Board of Aldermen. Okay. And certainly not without our input because, there were several meetings and we were involved. So that's how that went.
I didn't actually start meeting it.
Oh, all right, because whoever set those fees for Payton Park, and I'm not trying to be wise, are so overpriced. That's why you only had one use of that great room, because no one's going to be paying that kind of money. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. We're supposed to market this building so we can get people, but this is not the Taj Mahal. We can't charge these prices. So if you had anything to do with them, Denmo, I would advise this board to go to the Board of Aldermen and tell them what's going on, because that's why we can't rent this place.
Just so you know, Tom, there's a place downtown that does similar type stuff. And you know what? They're getting more than what we ask for. Okay. That's the place in the old UI building. You may drive by and see functions going on there pretty regularly, by the way. To me, you know, I'm sorry to disagree, not entirely, Tommy. To me, our fees are really not outlandish. Okay, there may be some things that we need to do other than fees that could help promote that room. And I'm not saying that that's what we do, but there's things probably going on at that other facility that are permitted, such as alcohol, at that other facility that, you know, that could be a significant reason why we might not get certain business.
Well then why can't we just allow alcohol? I mean, why not? Why does it have to go before the Board of Aldermen on an individual basis? I mean, why? They're not, the Board of Aldermen.
Tom, that's one of the things that's written into the policy, that the Board of Aldermen has the say on rather alcohol, because that's one of those special requests. It's sort of like if the Board of Aldermen can waive certain fees or reduce certain fees if we take that back before the board. And right now, as it stands, that holds true for alcohol too, for the obvious reasons. We have a lot of school activity there. So we have to be cautious that we're maintaining a place that is not a clubhouse per se, but a place that we're first taking into consideration the students and the people of our community, especially with alcohol. I think anybody that knows that we're dealing so much with the school system knows
you're right,
we
Andy,
need to be cautious.
I agree wholeheartedly. So maybe we should ban drinking at the Coon Hollow Picnic Grove, because that's a block away from the school, not even. So, I mean, why does it hold true for one place and not another? That's all I'm asking.
That's not maintained the same way that we maintain the other stuff. When you put an application in for the Picnic Grove, you go to the Public Works. They're the ones who set that up. We do not set that up.
Well, maybe the Public Works should be in charge of both places then. They seem to be doing a great job.
You know, we're going to get a request for a function with alcohol, and we're going to send it to the Board of Aldermen, and they're going to make a decision.
I know, Dennis. And
that'll be a test case. We haven't had a test case. We haven't had one. We thought we might have one. They backed out. That was the Historical Society that we thought they were going to come to the Board of Aldermen and ask for some kind of waiver for the alcohol situation. They backed out and they postponed their function, maybe in the spring. I don't know. But we haven't had a test case.
I know, and you're probably not going to have one either. But I'm done talking. Thank you very much for your answer, Denmo, and thank you, Chief.
Okay. All right. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else from the public like to speak? Karen, I see Heather has joined. Did you notice? Did you note that?
Yes, I noted she arrived at 7:20. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Heather. Okay. So if there's nobody else further from the public, then we'll move on to correspondence. Is there any correspondence that we have? Dennis, do you have
negative
any?
For me. No, sir.
Anybody else? Okay. So if there's no correspondence, we're going to move on to the director's report. You're up first, Dennis. You got any good news for us or what?
Good news?
Well, you know, whatever news you have.
Yeah, well, so, you know, so listen, we're I'm making an effort to get our youth basketball program reignited is the word I'm going to use, you know, because, of course, we haven't had it in 2 years. So, you know, I'm admitting that it's a struggle. Okay. The registration didn't go smooth. Not that it ever does, but it didn't go smooth this year. Our numbers are low. I have met with Aunt Sonia on several occasions. We will be working with them in our youth basketball program so that we both have enough teams to have leagues. We're going to have an instructional program for grade 1 and 2. We have a division grade 3-4. We have a division grade 5-6. And we're working on a division grade 7-8. I see Teg is here with us tonight. So we are having a bit of a struggle, I believe, and he could comment to this when he talks, with our 7th and 8th grade middle school program. As of last week, they didn't have a coach, and maybe that changed. But Aunt Sonia doesn't have a middle school program in their schools. So, you know, we're getting together with them to play a 7th and 8th grade division. Okay. We're waiting to see how we make out with our middle school team, our A team. They had over 30 kids register to play on that team, which is a great number. Okay. And obviously 30 something kids cannot be on a basketball team. So we're gonna put together a league for every one of those kids to play in, and they're gonna play with Aunt Sonia, and we could be looking at 6 teams in that league. So these kids are gonna be playing, and you know, that's what we hope to get started again. It's difficult. Coaches, very few and far between. Hopefully we can get that straightened out. If not, I got a big headache. That seems to be a trend, not only here, and so he's having the same problems. But that is that's a big problem. Volunteerism is down, and you know, so far that's just the way it is. But the plan is a good one. You know, once we get started, we could get rolling real good, and we could have a real decent program this year. We just got to work out the kinks, and there's quite a few of them.
This is Heather. Sorry, that's for boys though, right? Not girls.
Well, yes. I mean, we have some girls who are registered in this division I'm talking about. Our girls play in a travel league with Aunt Sonia. And listen, they're underway. They've got 2, 3, 4 games under their belts already. Okay. Is there a specific reason why you're asking about girls?
Well, I wanted to talk about this in general because my kids are still in the school system, elementary school. I never see paperwork for any girls, softball, basketball, anything going through the schools. I did see the one for the boys, basketball, but
What grades are you? So you have daughters?
Yep.
Okay. And what grade are they in?
So my oldest is a freshman in high school. So that's, you know, out of it now. Okay. But my younger daughter, great. And for years.
I'm sorry. You cut out. I didn't hear the grade. What was that? 8?
Fourth grade.
Okay. So you were not notified at all about the travel program with Aunt Sonia. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was no paper. No, yes, correct. Correct. I don't know if you can. There was no
free. Yeah, you're
girls.
Okay. So Aunt Sonia spearheads that division, that we participate in. So I don't have an answer as to why you don't know about it.
I think we need to. Can you hear me now, Dennis, or no?
Yeah, but you're breaking up. I'm making out what you're saying. What you're saying is we need to do our own notifying. In other words, I make sure that I believe that every boy in our schools gets a flyer from me. Okay. And that's what you saw.
I'll be honest with you. I see it at Irving now. Now that my son is in Irving, I see him. But when he was at St. Mary St. Michael's, which is still in Derby, there was never any.
I wish you could have Miss Grace on the phone here today because, they get them.
Do they?
Now, let me just say this. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but, do some teachers not give them out? Do these things make it home all the time? Certainly they don't, because what does? But the effort is for that to happen. St. Mary's gets, anything that comes from me, they get. That's all I can say. But you know what, Heather? You probably do know this. St. Mary's does their own thing.
Yeah.
You were, am I right?
Yeah.
So they, chances are my flyer, if they're doing their own thing, I don't even know if they're giving them to the kids. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything. But
no, I'm wondering if
they don't need us, that's okay, by the way.
To get into Irving and Bradley, because especially for the girls, I don't think, I helped my son's little league field or little league team 2 years ago. And there was a girl on the team and I just casually said, how come you're playing baseball instead of softball? And the mother was like, there's no softball team. And I'm like, yeah, there is. So I just don't think, especially for the girls, I don't know that people are aware of it, and I don't know how to get it in front of them. And I think that's why our numbers are, nobody knows about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, we used to have a pretty good girls softball, you know, in the youth division. It faded away, lack of interest.
Well, is it lack of interest in college, though? You know, I don't think people know about it, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of kids, even in their school now, I can see them, that don't even know there's sports out there. You know, a Flyers grab their attention. You know?
Well, listen, our girls' youth program went by the wayside. We stopped budgeting it probably half a dozen years ago. Okay. Now this is how it works from my point of view. Somebody comes to me and says, you know what? I can do this. Let's do it. You know what? Let's do it. Okay. That's how these things get done. They don't get done because myself decides that we're going to have a program and that's all it takes. And that's what works. That's not how it works. Okay. Now, Heather, you know, if you know people like yourself that want to have a girls softball program, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it from A to Z. But yep. I can't do it. Do it for you. I mean, we could support you as much as possibly that you need. You know, yeah. we could help you with everything. But we need the volunteer problem is a big one. And I haven't heard from anybody requesting a girls softball youth program like Little League since you're doing it. I haven't heard from anybody in years. I honest to God.
Yeah, because I don't think they knew. Like I said, that girl, you know, the mother was shocked that it existed. So
there isn't one. There isn't one.
My daughter plays in Ansonia, usually.
She plays in Ansonia.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, that happens, you know. For Pop Warner football, we refer kids to play in Ansonia this year. We take cheerleaders from lots of places. All right. So, you know, our kids do have the ability to play a sport. And we could refer them to where there is the sport happening. And that happens here too, as well. Okay. There's a lot of places that didn't have cheerleading this year. And you know what? They came to Derby, some of them, and they did very well, as you heard. Our football players went to Ansonia. And we're working on changing that. We hope to offer something so that we could, have our own program again. Not that we don't have one. It's just that we are flailing. Our program is flailing, and it needs a jolt. We're going to work on that.
Yeah,
and it's something that our subcommittee could actually. Look at,
You mean other sports, John?
Yeah, with the girls' teams and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, it's, you know, honest to God, and I don't mean to put it on anybody else, Heather, but you know, three or four parents walk in and say, "Hey, you know what? We can do this. Are you behind us?" Absolutely, we are. We have $1 in your budget. We didn't eliminate it because, you know what? The wish is that it does resurrect. Yep. We could ask for money. We could facilitate the program. We just need to have one. We need to have one, and we need support staff. That's the biggest problem.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't blaming you, Dennis. I feel like that, you know.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I don't think that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I could explain everything. I've been here so long. I could explain why things are the way they are. I can explain it. You probably won't like it. It's not like it's going to be good information. I wish I could explain it differently.
I want to help if I can, because I've been there with my oldest playing that basketball, and let me tell you, losing 72-2 doesn't help. Doesn't make the kids want to play. They're out of their league.
Well, absolutely. Now, I mean, our girls play down in Milford. Are you familiar with that at all? Did you ever get involved with that?
Daughter was on the team a few. My oldest was on the team a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard if you don't have, if you're not, can't handle losing. It's not easy because it's not just losing. It's humiliating when there's only five kids running up and down the court the whole hour, and they have a whole new team go in. Okay, a whole new team go in. It's just very frustrating for the girls.
Yeah, it is, and that's a problem for us. That's a problem. It is.
If I can help in any way, I can't run it. I'm too busy. But if I can help in any way.
Well, you might know somebody, you might know somebody that could do a little more than you could. And maybe somebody that could do a little more than both of you. Listen, just let me know. And we'll go after it.
All right. Thanks.
By all means.
Okay. Anything further, Dennis?
Well, let's see. So youth basketball, I told you the story there. Everything's good at the community center. Pretty busy with our basketball court and our swim lessons. Making a few dollars here to give to the city. That's going well. I've had discussions with Sal and John for our committee to examine youth football. Okay. We came up with some pertinent concerns that we want to address as we investigate, what's going on in our city with youth football. I don't want to mention them, because I don't want anybody getting upset with what we're doing. We do have Pop Warner leadership that we haven't spoken with. And rather than say anything without speaking with them, I'd rather not until we do. So we've only discussed these concerns. We'll be getting together face to face soon. We haven't done that yet, but we have spoken. About what we need to go after, we think, to resurrect our football program. Okay, so that's it. I don't have anything else to tell you.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. Move on to the high school athletic director. I see he's still there with a smile on his face.
Thank you, Andy. How are you?
Good. How are you,
buddy? Thanks. This is a great conversation, Heather. I like that conversation too. I do have a few things for you guys. What I had last on my bullet list to talk about is actually what you guys just were talking about. So while that's still fresh in our minds, I'd like to address that. Our athletic department wants to partner with our youth sports programming, and there's things that are in our control within the school system that we believe that we can do. And we've been having conversations with coaches, some of my student athlete leadership team as well, initiatives that we want to get underway this academic year, where we can get our coaches and our student athletes in the elementary schools and the middle schools doing clinics. Getting them interested in sports, letting them know the sport offerings that we do have in Derby, kind of speaking to what you're saying there, Heather. At the same time, figuring out some programming that we can do as well. And my vision of that would be a partnership kind of thing, where it can be the athletics department in partnership with the youth sports leaders too, where we can also make some presentations to our parents so that they know what is out there, and also what we need from the parents. And that's, you know, Dennis did touch upon it. Everybody's busy. The pandemic across the board, it really doesn't make a difference what community you're in, has made it an impact on it as well. But we're seeing it at the high school too, with the booster clubs and that kind of thing, that the parent involvement is waning from what it used to be before I got here, in terms of parent interest, or ability to be interested and be present. So with that, I talked to Dennis about this. It's actually something I talked about in my interview process, late last May, early June, when I got hired. But I would love for us to partner in a committee that, we can call it whatever we want, but I'd call it the Derby Sports Alliance. And it would be a partnership with the youth sports programming in the schools. I would be happy to head it up. I'd be happy to co-head it up or whatever, where we can actually have periodic meetings with, identify who are the leaders of all those programs, Pop Warner, cheer and football, the youth soccer people, the Little League, and figure out also too, the softball piece of that. That's on my list as well. Heather, the softball piece has to get built. We're in the midst of making we'll have a new head softball coach shortly. And those are things that have been talked about in the interview process as well, in terms of how to build. So there's a number of things that we can do, and would, you know, shortly, probably after the first year, maybe work with Dennis to identify those leadership people. But at the same time, on our end, on the school side, we will be creating stuff, so that we can at least, you know, we do have a captive audience with the elementary schools and the middle school kids, that we can do some things differently than we've done before to generate interest. And some of the programming that we'll do with our student athletes might not even involve a ball and a bat. It's just going to get our young kids we've got some great kids in our schools, that just get them in front of being role models in front of young people, going down to Reed wearing a sports jersey, so that the kids can say, you know, hey mom, guess who came to school today? I got to hear Andrew Cota come read to me. He's the quarterback of the football team, or a cheerleader, or a softball player. And those kids start talking about it at home. And again, we can also be that delivery mechanism to help Dennis with his things, and help with, you know, maybe some electronic messaging of some of the rec department stuff as well. So he and I have touched upon that, and that's a huge goal of ours in the athletic program on our side, and especially talking with our coaches, because we need that. We need to reinvigorate that grassroots programming. So open to everything and anything. It is one of my agenda items for what we need to do to build our programming within Derby, wholly and organically from the bottom up. So one of the things transitioning to that, for example, middle school winter sports, we have girls basketball, boys basketball. Unfortunately, our boys middle school coach stepped down in October. We have not been able to secure a coach for our boys program. Talking to a couple people now that are interested, but there's one of the processes for the school coaching. There's Connecticut coaching certification that's required. If you're a certified teacher, it's a little bit quicker in terms of getting your medical certifications, a couple online classes that have to happen. And then there's a lag of 6 to 8 weeks from the time you apply to the State Department of Education before you get that. So it's not a quick hitter thing. For someone that's not a teacher, there's a way for us to get them a temporary permit for a year. And so we're talking to someone about that right now on the boys' side. But for them to get the 5-year permit, they have to take a 45 clock hour class. I've lost track, but it costs somewhere around $385 to do it. One of the things that's nice is the state has finally moved to, instead of being 45 clock hours in person in Cheshire or somewhere else, they've now made it an online course. So it's a little bit more accessible. People can work at their own pace as well. And then they finish it off with 4 hours of in-person to finalize that. So that's for the school coaching positions. That's always one of the challenges that we have. So girls basketball is underway. We had 23 girls come out. One of the things philosophically we've been talking about at the middle school with the coaches is, with the number of coaches we have, it's typically one head coach and that's it, no assistants. How many kids can we take safely and still have a good program? But our goal right now is to build numbers with our middle school programming, get them engaged, You know, it might mean some limited playing time because of larger numbers, but, you know, practice is a skill development, getting exposed to the game, moving kids up with the goal of every year trying to pass up as many eighth graders to Derby High School as possible. So we actually, Josh Dieden, our girls coach, went through the process, did an evaluation, a tryout. You know, the concept of cuts were on the table. We've decided to keep all 23 girls. The boys, we just a notice went out this weekend, I believe it was, to let them know that we were still searching for a coach, and that, you know, we were looking to still do something, and that we'll just keep them apprised of that, but probably won't be starting until we can find a coach. Would be after the first of the year. There's 30 boys signed up there. So that's a good thing. So that's one of the things that Dennis alluded to is I'll be sharing with Dennis the contact information of those registered kids and those parents. So Dennis can also do some outreach specifically on the boys side to jumpstart that program that he was talking about as well. Up on the high school side, all winter sports are underway. This week, competition is starting to begin at the high school level, outside of scrimmages. our girls basketball team opens up tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Currently we have 12 girls on our roster. And we've got a couple issues with not having all 12 right now. So we're going to be playing varsity only up until the first of the year, and then reevaluating, and hopefully we have all 12 girls back and we'll be able to reinstate the JV schedule. But Coach Chevarella and Coach Landolfi are doing a great job with a very, very young team. And if you followed us in the fall, that's kind of the theme. That's the makeup right now of who's interested in playing sports. Low on the senior side, a little bit with some juniors. Then you see some more sophomores and you're seeing a lot of freshmen. And so we're embracing that. We want the seniors and upperclassmen to have a great experience. But from this mindset of having to build this freshman class and these sophomores too, that the numbers of it that we have there, they're bringing some good energy. And those are the kids that we have the ability to build this on if we can backfill with numbers from our middle school kids. Our track team has 63 boys and girls for our indoor track team. That's huge. It's really cool, and it's giving us speculation to even larger numbers for the spring. And there's a number of reasons for that. And a good chunk of it too is the success that the program has. And that's just another interesting conversation to have down the road. But, you know, talking to some of the kids that come out for track and they say, oh, I want to be part of a winning program, that kind of stuff. And we do remind them that, you know, there was a point in time that our track program wasn't good. But there's a process to that and how to build a championship program like Coach DeLugo has and his staff. And that's the approach we're going to take with all the rest of our programs as well. And that's what we're selling to our younger student athletes, that there's a process and that, you know, especially the, you know, not necessarily looking at the scoreboard right now, but little micro wins. Are we getting better every day? And teaching them those little things, pay attention to that stuff so that over time, the winning will take care of itself. Cheer squad is right now 8 strong, ready for competition. Our wrestling program, we have 10 boys, and we're in a co-op situation this year. It's a one-year co-op that we got approved by the CIAC. Involves 5 of our wrestlers, 3 Oxford wrestlers, and 2 Holy Cross wrestlers. And they're working with Coach Jaddick, who I'm going to assume most of you know, who's just a legend. And our kids are so lucky to have him and Coach Steck and Coach Sarah Jaddick as well. And then our boys basketball program, we had 30 plus boys try out. We did have cuts. We have a new head coach there that is, we're so thrilled to have him, Phil Quan Tate. He's really setting some standards and expectations for the program and holding the boys' feet to the fire. And we're building the program based on character and leadership capabilities and instilling that. And that's the culture that we need to have in there to build moving forward. So he's working with about 25 boys right now with a varsity and JV schedule. We had a practice on a scrimmage on Saturday against East Haven High School. The energy in there with both teams was amazing. The effort was there. I'm not sure what that'll translate to in terms of wins and losses, but off to a great start. A lot of excitement amongst the boys with that as well. So the last thing I have, Two, I noticed last meeting that I missed was in the minutes. There was a component in there about parking at certain facilities in terms of public parking during the day. I forget how it was worded in the minutes, but it reminded me of something that I just wanted to put out there either for feedback or something down the road. So specifically at the Ryan Complex, Payden Park, in the fall, you know, during the day, you know, there's people in there using the track and field, community use, all that kind of stuff, and they're in and out. It's fine. But what we found that there was some neighbors using it for parking. And then when we had larger events, and in some cases, specifically with football, we actually have, you know, we keep the handicap parking as first come, first serve, but then we have assigned spots for officials, medical personnel, that kind of stuff. And all those spots end up getting used up and we staff it with a gate list, et cetera. So we found that we had to go across the street, knock on some doors, get some people to move. So just when I saw that in your minutes from the last meeting, I just made it a point to jot a note to just, again, if that's a topic of conversation or of a way of potentially how to deal with that, what we can or can't do, or if there's even signage component related to that, or if you have feedback based on past practice that I may have missed going into this fall and dealing with that, just throw that out there as well. That's what I've got for you tonight.
Okay, thank you. The parking thing, I think the big issue at the minutes were up at the Wittig Park, that, you know, the entrance by where the you go into Wittig Park. That was the particular issue. But the one that you're bringing up is interesting because that may require signage eventually if people are using it as their personal parking lot. There may be some kind of limitations to, you know, only when use of park or building or something like to that effect. We'll have to take a close look at that and make that decision. That may be an issue if people are using it for their personal lot.
Yeah. And the people across the street have been nice. So I feel awkward going over, but we needed the spot. So we'd knock on the door, see if anybody came in, if they were home. And if they did have a vehicle there, they'd go and move it. You know, I'd even if there was even a, if it made sense, even if there was a flyer that could be made up that I could have that if we're down there at certain times, if we saw cars not there.
Well, that's even a possibility. That's good. That's a good suggestion. Because if people were alerted to when these things are happening, when you have practices or games or something, and like you say, if you had a like a flyer or something, they would be aware of when not to park there.
That may work too. Okay. Yeah. Like for the practices too, like we just live with it during the practices, but just, you know, even soccer, yeah, we were kind of okay. That was your
okay. Well, we lost you. You went on mute.
Oh, sorry. You're back. I say just thank you. In the fall, just playing, you know, all our soccer games this year were at night for the most part. There might have been a couple of weird scenarios where we played during the day, but we did okay with that. It was really the football games where we kind of had reserve lot status where those spots were at a premium, okay. But the night stuff too, just to let you know, it's more nights out and everything else, but that's another way for us to go and get families out at night to come watch the high school kids play. We actually did a youth night with soccer, the last girls' home game. The kids made a tunnel. They went out with the starting lineup for the national anthem. One of the teams were ball persons. And then at halftime they played you know, I told that the lead of Derby Youth Soccer that, you know, they have an open invitation to do that for any of our home games. We'll look to try to do that, Dennis. We can do that with our home basketball
teams. Good.
As well, you know, do youth nights, let teams play at halftime and that kind of stuff as well. So.
Terrific.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate it. Okay. We'll move on to new or in other business. I think the first thing that we have under 8A was the fee schedule. We had agreed that with the fee schedule that we had inserted in there. That's correct, right? When we adopted the process, the procedures for Wittig Park and Amendola Is that correct?
I just left it on there because I didn't know if there was any comment that came back from the Board of Aldermen, but yeah, clearly from Charlie's comments, we can consider it complete.
Yeah, okay. The only thing I did notice, Karen, and I don't know if anybody else noticed that, though, but when you have the groupings, group one, under group two, the Bradley School Athletic Field, under group two, you have $5. It's supposed to be 50, isn't it, Dennis?
Okay.
In other words, if you're looking at the schedule of the fees.
Well, nothing's $5, so that can't be right.
Yeah. I just think it got reversed. I think it said 05 instead of 50. So it actually should be because group one and two are the same prices. And it was Whittick and Bradley were both 50 in group one, 50 in group two, 100 in group three in both fields, and 200 in group four. Both fields.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I saw. So I believe that we had already adopted this as part of our overall plan, Karen. But that needs to be adjusted so that everybody knows that's not $5 at Bradley School for group two, it's 50.
I'll make that correction in the minutes.
Okay. That's really the only thing. So I do not think we need a vote for that. What do you think, Ron?
No, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask a question? We already voted for it, right?
So, can I ask a question, please?
You can do whatever you want. Sure.
Was group one and group two weren't they zero prices?
That's not what you gave us in the document.
Okay, because I'm looking in.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. That's right. It's zero in group one and two because they're both Derby things.
Right. Yes. Okay.
I took off my glasses, so it looks like 50.
Well, it looks like a 05 there. But that's
the five.
That's zero actually, with a dollar sign.
That's supposed to be zero. I'm sorry. Group one and two, because they're both city groups, are
that's
zero.
Right. So we technically all we have is the 100 and the 200.
100 and the 200. That's right. Sorry about that. Anyways, that's what we had voted on. That was the only correction. So, which is a minor thing. It's zero in group one, both fields, zero in group two, both fields, 100 in both fields for group three, and 200 group four, both fields. Okay, yes. Karen, does that make sense? Okay. All right, so we know what the fee schedule is. Meeting schedule is the next thing. 8B, our meeting schedule for the upcoming year. Karen has provided that. Everybody get a copy of it?
Yep, looks good. Yep.
Okay, do we have a motion on that?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, who's second?
I'll second it.
Okay, John second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? If no opposition, then so moved. That'll be our schedule for 2022 and includes January 9th, 2023. Okay. So everybody sees what the dates are. The first Mondays, except or the second Monday of each, except for a Tuesday on October 11th. That's a Tuesday. Okay, so we voted for that, so that as it stands. Okay, Sal, now we'll move on to that 8C. How would you like to phrase this, and what would you like us to do with it?
Okay, let me just pull over here a second because I can't drive and do this.
I'm talented. Well, you're a cop. You could. Maybe you could.
Well, I'm talented, but I'm just not that talented. Plus, I got to turn the light on and get the piece of paper that's in the car somewhere. anyway, to make the board fully aware, if you weren't, the Pop Warner cheerleaders went to Disney Nationals to compete, as usual. Our Pee Wee squad placed first. Our Mighty Might squad placed second. Junior Pee Wee and Junior Varsity placed third, respectfully. So, just with that said, I think this board should at least be aware of that. We should mention them and congratulate them in our minutes.
Okay, that sounds good that we should be doing that. So Karen, you can put that in the minutes that the board is very enthusiastic about teams that go out to win like that, and we know they do very well every year. So I'm not sure exactly how the wording you would like to put in there, but that we give them recognition for their successes during the Pop Warner cheerleading competition.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so that we can Karen's probably a little better at the wording than I am, but there will be recognition in there.
No, you sounded better than I could have put it into words.
Very good. All right. So
Karen.
Okay, so I think that's all that I see on the agenda. So is it, unless there's something else, do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved. 8:04. Uh-huh. I have. All right. Good meeting.
Okay.
Eggs input and everything. Very good meeting.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. And
okay, good night.
Have a good holiday. Have a good Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great Christmas.
All right. Bye-bye. Good seeing everybody.
8:05 p.m.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.